against your Roman popery.
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online!
There we go. Now, we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting and research and truth manufacturing facility. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live with you today, and we're going to think Bible. We're going to have to, in order to comprehend, in order to wrap this around our head, this guy killing all of these people, intending to kill hundreds of people in Las Vegas, Nevada, in order to understand this, in order to comprehend it, in order to fathom it, in order for this to make sense, we have to think Bible. Thank you to the people who sent me this hat. God bless you. I love it. If you want a hat like this, I have a special offer for you today. Anybody listening to me that will hashtag Think Bible can get one of these hats if you go and have one made. All right? I don't have my sound effects ready. I'm not ready for today. I've been putting everything I've got into today's program today. I have been researching this thing and working on it and trying to put some things together, trying to do what you're doing, trying to make sense. Now I have sound effects. Trying to make sense out of this. And what I won't do is give you guessing. Conjecture, ridiculous conspiracy theories, ridiculous ones. Now, is there a conspiracy here? There is always a conspiracy. When it comes to what the devil does, the very nature of a conspiracy is that they're done in secret. What the devil does is always going to be done in secret. And so there's a conspiracy here, but we won't entertain ridiculous conspiracy theories. You know, what we see, every time somebody gets killed in the United States of America, or I'll say it like this, every time more than three people in a group get killed in this country, whatever the media reports, the conspiracy theorists are out there going, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. This guy did not do this. No. There was shooting from the fourth floor. We saw it plainly. We saw gunshots coming out of the fourth floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. We saw it with our own eyes. It was videotaped. And what you see is the reflection of flashing lights. Now, you need to understand something. You're in Las Vegas, Nevada. The birthplace of flashing lights. Literally, everything in Las Vegas flashes lights. And somebody showed me this video yesterday of apparent gunfire coming from the fourth floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. And I looked at it and I said, that's flashing lights. That's a reflection of flashing lights coming. You don't see any windows broken on the fourth floor. You don't see anything like that. And you can't, in this hotel, apparently, you can't just open the windows like you would if you were in your own home or something like that. These windows don't open. This guy had to break two windows in his, here we go, in his 32nd floor hotel suite, luxury hotel suite, 32nd floor. Now, we have followers who were, one lady in particular, follows this ministry, has visited this church. I've met her. She, from what I heard, was in the basement. They had to, I'm not saying this right. She works at this hotel, and they had to sequester her and a large group of other people to a place where they would be safe from the gunfire and from all the chaos that was going on. And I am told that this building has a basement floor pretty much. I'm not going to say anything that I don't know for sure. Was it even with the parking lot? I don't know. But the idea is that this shooter was literally 33 levels above the parking lot. Now let's cue some music here. Let's get our conspiracy glasses on, because I think there's something going on here. Something related to the word spirit itself. And in the word spirit, you have S-P-I-R, or in the word conspiracy, they have the phrase S-P-I-R. That sort of gives you the idea of what a conspiracy is. Con means with. Spira means breath or spirit. I'm going to take this hat off for two reasons. Number one, it hides the luminosity of my face. Number two, now I have hat head. Number two, I am, and I take this seriously, I'm not allowed to prophesy with my head covered. Okay? It's just, maybe you think I take it too far. I don't know. I just believe what the Bible says. I'm not going to prophesy with my head covered. And I am going to be prophesying today. No, not like you think, oh, I got a prophecy from God. God showed me a vision right now. No, I'm going to read you the scriptures. That is the pureness of prophecy. God told Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy unto Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord. So what I'm going to give you is, when I'm reading scripture, it is thus saith the Lord. When I'm not reading scripture, it may be just Mike. But when I give you the scripture, it's going to be thus saith the Lord. Anyway, the nature of a conspiracy is, I believe, in order to have a true conspiracy, you have spirits. See, the idea behind the word conspiracy is that the word spira in there gives the idea of breath, like whispering. Okay? But I also believe that any true conspiracy, not just a theory, but a true conspiracy is always going to have at its core spirits. And in all cases, very evil spirits. This shooter was 33 levels above the people that he was shooting. To me, that means something. And there's some other interesting things that are going on here. Now, I'm not basing everything that I'm going to say today purely upon this idea of the number 33, and was he a Freemason? I don't know. Doesn't matter. You don't have to be a Freemason to be on the devil's team. You don't have to be a member of the Illuminati. You don't have to be a Vatican insider. You didn't have to attend the Bilderberg meeting in order to play on the devil's team. All you have to do is be a child of disobedience. Let me read scripture. Let me prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Remember that? Remember those days? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Did you know that technically and in reality, it could have been you doing the shooting? If you're lost, it could be you. It could be anybody. I mean, who is this guy named, what is this, Paddock is his name? Stephen Paddock? Who is this guy? I don't know. Just some guy. They, I watched a reporter talking to his neighbor. And his neighbor said he wasn't into politics, he wasn't into this, he wasn't into that. He was just a guy. That's all he was. But he was a lost guy. And as such, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This could have been anybody. And it could have been you, and it could have been me, had we still been lost. Understand, two types of people in this world. Those who are led by the Holy Spirit, those who are led by the spirit of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Only two types of people in this world. And this murderer could have been anybody. My dear friend, Uncle Tim Behrens, who passes out 300 tracks a day, every day, that's his goal in Las Vegas, Nevada. I've been in touch with him. Some of you expressed concern about him. He is alive and doing well. And guess what he was fixing to go do when I text messaged him? He was fixing to go give out free food and hand out gospel tracks. That's what he does in Las Vegas, Nevada. He is fine. Now, he said that this man's live-in girlfriend, I mean, there's a clue right there. He's lost. He is not saved. He's not born again. If he were, he would not have himself a live-in girlfriend. He would have either been celibate or he would have married this woman. But I am told that his live-in girlfriend was from Malaysia, I think. One of the largest Muslim populations in the world. So was he locked in with Islam? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I can tell you, if you want to think about conspiracies and where I'm going with this, I can tell you that Muslims who kill in the name of their religion are performing a spiritual ritual. Not just the bathing before they go and suicide themselves. That kind of ritual. But they're actually performing, when they kill for their religion, they're performing a ritual sacrifice for their God. Their God, who is, I believe, none other than Satan himself. Their God requires a human bloody sacrifice. Their God is a bloodthirsty God. Always out seeking to kill and to slaughter. He cannot drink enough blood. He cannot get enough human flesh. There are not enough people in Allah's mind. There are not enough people to die to satisfy his craving for consuming human beings. And so it could have been a Muslim-related sacrifice, because the devils that I think were part of this, are bloodthirsty. They are cravers of human flesh. They raven human flesh, ravenous for it. And they can never get enough. There are not enough people in the world to satisfy their lust for human blood. Let me show you where I'm going with this in the scripture. We're going to think Bible. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. So he'll walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children disobedience. God is not in all his thoughts. He doesn't care about, his neighbors said he was just a guy. Didn't seem to be a religious fanatic. Didn't seem to be a gun-toting, Trump-voting conservative. He just was a guy. But God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Think about it. How many people now are mourning and grieving over the loss of loved ones? The loss of husbands and wives, the loss of children, their blood. And one guy, I'm going to be gory here, but one guy testified, he's just standing there 1 minute, and the next minute, the woman next to him, her head exploded. Okay, that's what kind of sickening grief that this man caused. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. In other words, he don't get the Bible. He don't understand it. It means nothing to him. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. God is his number one enemy, by the way. And he just puffs at them. He don't care. You don't scare me, God. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. People, you need to understand what your Bible is telling you about your neighbor, about your family member, about your quote-unquote trusted friend. If they are lost, this is who they are. Their mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. I mean, we're still to love our enemies, correct? And I believe in that. Love them enough to want them to be saved. Love them enough to not want to see them hell. But my friends, I'm telling you, the lost man, his mouth is full of deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Watch this now. He sitteth, think Bible, and think this killer yesterday. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. What was he doing? As he prepared to open fire under these, on these people, he's sitting in a lurking place. And that's what he's doing. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. Right there. There's your scripture text for today. Thank you. It's been a good program. I'll see you later. I could stop right here and finish the program with this right here and be done with it. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. That is, thus saith the Lord. But let's read on. And his eyes are privily set against the poor, privately. He did not tell everybody what his plans were. He did not announce, he did not call the police and say, you better stop me, I'm on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, and I have a lot of guns. You better stop me, because I'm going to open fire in about 15, 20 minutes now. They would have got this guy. In secret places that he murdered the innocent, his eyes are privily set against the poor. Watch this now. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Here we go, right here. There's your key right here. You want to believe in a conspiracy? You want to believe in somebody else did this? That's who did it right here. The lion did. Be sober, people. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. This was a spirit. This man was full of devils. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. Zero doubt. I mean, people don't just wake up one day and say to themselves, "Ooh, honey, you know, I think before you and I have lunch today, why don't you go to the pharmacy? I'm going to go to Walmart and kill about 85 people." Nobody does that. A spirit, or a group of spirits, legion, for we are many, inside of this man, causing him to kill. These devils want blood. They want human flesh. They are devourers. And there isn't enough killing in the world to satisfy them. And I would tell you, it's not just the mass murderer in America who's devil possessed. Thugs and gang members and villains and thieves from every walk of life, from every neighborhood in America, white, black, Hispanic, Vietnamese, Chinese, it doesn't matter. Killing and committing murder there is a spirit involved in that, just like there is a spirit involved in adultery. A spirit, a lustful spirit driving men to go seek after other women, or driving women to go seek, or driving men to go after another man or a child. There is a spirit involved in that. And there is a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. I have gunfire here. Where is it? Where's my gunshot? He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. That's the thoughts of a murderer, people. That's the thoughts going through this man's mind late Sunday night as he kills 50, actually, he killed more than 59 people. I'll show you that in a little bit. There's numbers here, okay? And it didn't take me much to find them. They're there. And why would I even look at something like this? Why would I even consider, well, he's 33 levels above these people. Oh, that means something. What else? How many guns did he have in here? How many years was the... He was firing from the Mandalay Hotel, but that's not where the people were that he killed. They were in front of another place, in front of another hotel. That hotel has been there 23 years. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you why I think it's significant. Why would I even look at these numbers? Why would they even matter? Well, number one, because other incidents that have happened, killings, murders, things like that, are also associated with some of these numbers. You know, I didn't have to stretch something. I didn't have to make something up in order for it to fall into place. I mean, it was just there. But why would I even look at this? Because I think, you know, I'm a hunter. Not a good one. Not the best one there is. I think my son is a better hunter than I am. Definitely, my grandson is a better hunter than I am. That's his name, by the way, Hunter. Okay. But I'm a hunter, and I know a little bit about deer, what I'm hunting. I know that they leave a trail in places where they go, or they have been. You can walk through the woods. You can walk in places where you think deer are going to be. And what are we looking for? We're looking for signs. We're looking for hoof prints in the mud. We're looking for places where they have been bedded down. And you can find them. If you know where to look, you can find places where deer have been bedded down. You can find At a certain time of year, you look at trees, and you're looking for antler scrapes. They're taking and they're rubbing their antlers up against trees. They're rubbing that velvet off of their antlers, and they're polishing them up, making them real nice and shiny. Making those tips a little bit, you know, pointed, so that when they go after other buck deer, they're establishing their territory. They will scrape in the dirt, and they will lick the dirt because there's minerals in that they need, and they will take their paw and they will scrape the dirt up, and they will lick that up. And so we look for scrapes, we look for rubs, we look for tracks, we look for places where they bedded down, look for droppings. All of these are signs that a deer has been in this place. It's not hard to find skunks. Amen? You just know where they've been. Why? Because they leave something behind for everybody. And there's no doubt in my mind that when devils operate, when devils work, when spirits are at work in a certain place or doing a certain thing, I believe that these are beast spirits. I think the Bible bears that out. We're talking about lions. We're talking about dragons. We're talking about leopards watching for the prey, crouching down. We're talking about a she-bear bereaved of her cubs. Her cubs. She-bear bereaved of her cubs. Why would that even matter? Because bears display knowable actions. When you rob a she-bear of her cubs, you know for a fact that she is going to react to that in a certain way. The Bible says so. So I think spirits were involved here. And I think that they left a hoof print. They left a rub. They left a scrape. They left signs at a certain time or a certain place or a certain direction or whatever it is. They left their mark on this mass murder. And it's that we're going to try to understand. One of these, we know, as I drink my, where's my sack here? I don't mind throwing this in, outofthegreatcoffee.com. This portion of Pastor Mike Online is brought to you by the many donations of people around the world. And I like to drink out of thegreatcoffee.com. Go there, type in, what is it, King James Code, something like that, get a 15% discount. Saratoga Crackers, the two brothers, Ike and Mike. I just made that up, by the way. And go to saratogacrackers.com. And if you follow our ministry and you have a business or a product you want me to pitch, okay, all you gotta do is send me something like Think Bible. Okay, anyway, devils know the Bible in a limited fashion. They are aware of what God says in certain ways. The fact that we're dealing with a murderer, someone who has taken the innocent human life away from people. That's part of the scripture. There is a commandment in the Bible. Let's go to Exodus 20. Let's go to the 70th chapter of the Bible. God put it there for a reason. Okay? So let's go to Exodus 20. Let's look at a list that God gives us. We count things. God gives us wisdom. You want to understand how the world works. Read the Bible. Okay? You spent all your time watching ridiculous YouTube videos. And they popped up just hours after this thing took place. All of a sudden now, people who have never been to Las Vegas, were not at the crime scene, have only seen a very limited amount of photographs and or footage, and they already know that there was more than one shooter. They already know that this guy, whatever is Paddock, his name, this guy didn't do it. They already know that for a fact. Okay? So you spend all your time watching this stuff. Well, watch this bozo for a minute. All right? Because we're going to look at the scripture. We're going to ask God what God says about this. So in Exodus 20, God says, "And God spake all these words, saying." So we have a list in the Bible that's called the Ten Commandments. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's rule number one, the commandment number one. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. Rule number six. Commandment number six. Thou shalt not kill. Think about it. Did God put that there? Yes. What is it related to? Remember, there is a beast. A beast. A spirit beast. Called the Antichrist. The beast. And his number. Revelation 13, 15. He had power. This is concerning the false prophet. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. The beast is a murderer. He is a killer. He is going to be the world's largest mass murderer. Is who the beast is. The world's biggest serial killer. Because anybody, any poor, innocent person who does not worship his image is going to be murdered. He is going to do the sixth thing that God said don't do. And it so happens that his number is 666. So is there a connection here? I think there is. Not just based solely on this, because there's other things in the Bible. There's other things about what he did that leads me to believe that this number is relevant. So we have a number six here. Let's go to where else in the Bible? Oh, looky here. The number of people that he killed, according to today's information, he killed 59 people. But there's one more murder that he committed. And that was the killing of himself. Just before police arrived in his 32nd floor suite, he put a gun to his head, blew his own head off. So now we have 60 people that are dead because of his actions. Himself being the 60th one. The 60th one. I don't know how you say 60th. Okay? But the 60 people total dead. Alright? 59 plus his death is 60. Go to, and he used an instrument of iron, by the way. Job 24:14. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. Now, here's why I bring this verse in. He's a murderer. And the spirit that was with him, or the spirits, let's say there's multiple devils, the spirits that were in him, that were part of him, that had taken over his thought processes, these are all murdering spirits. And they are also thieves. So what did they take away, Pastor Mike? They took away some guy's wife. They took away some woman's husband, some girl's boyfriend. They took away some parents' children, murdering them innocently. These spirits and this man are thieves. They stole these people's precious friends, precious family members away from them. The day of the Lord so cometh as a what? As a thief. In the night. Now, I'm one of these that maybe I think a little different than other people, but I don't think for a moment that Jesus is the thief being referred to there. I don't think he is. Some would say, oh, you know, Pastor Mike, the Jewish wedding ceremony is the bridegroom sneaks in at night and he steals the bride away. And that's Jesus coming to take the... Jesus doesn't steal us. He's got the receipt. We're bought and paid for. Bought with his own blood, with his own sacrifice. Jesus bought us. We're paid for commodities here. He does not steal us. I do not think Jesus is the thief. I think the murderer, the one who kills people, I think he's the thief that comes in the night. Because if you read, 1 Thessalonians 5? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We are children of the day. Let us be sober that that day not overtake us as a thief. And I don't think Jesus is the thief. I think the Antichrist is the thief. He is the murderer. He is the one that rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. Now, Numbers chapter 35. Numbers 35 is interesting. If you're going to look for the word murder in the King James Bible, you're going to find it mucho times in Numbers chapter 35. Because it establishes here what's known in the Bible as refuge cities. Let's say that you committed a murder, and you felt like the murder was justified, or the murder was an accident, you didn't mean to do it or whatever, and you want a trial. You can flee to one of these, here it is, 6 refuge cities. Why 6? Because I think it has to do with, number one, the 6th commandment, thou shalt not kill. I also think that there is a connection between this murderer and these murderers and the refuge cities and the Antichrist. Now, I don't know the big, super whopping connection here between this and the Antichrist. I don't understand it yet. I can't quite see it yet. But there's no doubt in my mind that there's a connection here. Why did God establish 6 refuge cities? Why not 5? Why not 8? Why not 9.5? Let's read this passage because it's interesting. Numbers 35:15. These 6 cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger. Think about it. Who's the stranger? Someone strange. Someone that doesn't belong there. And that's the Antichrist. That's the beast. He's not one of the children. He's a stranger. And for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And look at verse 16. Guess what I'm thinking about verse 16. Take a guess. Well, I'm thinking Bible, number one. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, guess what I'm thinking? Number one, I'm thinking of a gun. That's one of the things that I'm thinking, an instrument of iron. A gun is an instrument. I mean, it's plain and simple to me. The gun is an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. And the murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with a throwing stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die. He is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. 3 things here. Think 3. Think beast, dragon, false prophet. Unholy trinity, as it were. Think of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's a murderer, isn't it? It's killing us. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But I am thinking this instrument of iron, I think that verse 16 is related to, guess what? Daniel chapter 2. The iron kingdom. When they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And I think everybody during that time is going to be slain in the spirit. Yes, I said it. I don't want to spend another hour today talking about being slain in the Spirit, because it's unbiblical and it's wrong. And you need to think about what you're saying here. You're saying that God murdered your spirit. He didn't just crucify your flesh. He murdered your spirit. That's unbiblical. Slaying in the Spirit, nothing more than the receiving of Sheba, the goddess of destruction. Sheba's the destroyer, right? And you receive, or no, it's Shakti. You receive Shaktipat. These Hindus, this guru who's got all this flaming power in him, taps you on the forehead, and you become electrified, and you are literally slain in the Spirit. You fall backward. Just like these, I said I wasn't going to spend time to it, but it's a murder is what it is. Being slain in the Spirit makes God your murderer. I just don't go for that stuff, okay? Anyway, an instrument of iron so that he died. Clearly, I think prophetically, talking about guns, but also talking about the Iron Kingdom that I think is literally going to kill and slay all the people on the earth. They're going to die of that mark. Okay? And I think there's a connection there. Let's look at this site for a minute. The people were gathered for the Route 91 harvest site, and I did a little research. Route 91 is this roadway right here. So that's the old Route 91. So they're meeting here. Here's a Mandalay Bay hotel. It's the 32nd floor where the shooter was shooting from. That's where his den was, his lion's den, as it were. He was lurking there. Now, some pretty high-powered weapons he's got here. He can't just use like a .22 pea shooter and reach these people. These people were probably, what'd you say, a good 200, 300 yards away? Something like that? I mean, I have several guns that would probably do that. One or two of them that are semi-automatic. But the weapons he had were fully automatic. He was not just semi-automatic means that every time you fire the trigger, one shot comes out, and as fast as you can pull the trigger, that's how fast the gun shoots. When it's fully automatic, you load the spring, and you pull that trigger one time and hold it down, and it fires off round after round after round in a very fast, continuous way until that clip's gone. You go back and watch and listen to it. It's until he runs out of ammo in this clip. And then there's a pause. What's he doing? He's either putting a new clip in or he's grabbing another gun, loading the spring, firing again. And he does this over and over. 530 people wounded. He could have killed 530 people. Instead of just 60, 60. But anyway, the actual killing place, the actual killing field, not so much in front of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, but in front of this great big gigantic Egyptian pyramid called the Luxor Hotel. Okay? Let's hear some music here on that. The pyramid. My goodness, what were pyramids used for? Think about it. They were a pyramid. Doesn't matter what country it was. If it was in Egypt or it was in Central America or South America, they're places of death. That's all they, whether they were the tomb of these great pharaohs of Egypt, or they were the Set pyramids in Mexico and Central and South America, where they were used for bloody, gory sacrifice. They're nothing but places of death, people. Think about it. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but why, when they did these sacrifices at pyramids, who were they doing it for? Were they doing it for just a party? Were they doing it for one another? Here, let me kill your cousin for you. Yeah, bring him up here to the top of the pyramid. Well, we killed everybody's cousin up here. They were doing it for their gods, their spirits. The spirits are the ones who chose the place and the location of people's death. It was spirits. These are, I'm still getting ahead of myself here. You're looking at the high places mentioned in the Bible. That's what this pyramid is. The spirits are the ones who chose, I'm get my microphone straight here. The spirits are the ones who chose the location of the death of these people. Not this guy. He was just doing what the voices in his head were telling him to do. And these voices, my friends, were real. We need to understand. You see, to go through all these YouTube videos and all these Facebook posts of what everybody thinks about who really did the shooting. What government agency was protect? Somebody goes instantaneously finds that some Hollywood recruiting agency was hiring people to be in a background crowd in Las Vegas. Somebody finds an ad advertising for a talent agency to hire people to be part of a background scene, a crowd, in Las Vegas for some movie or some show they were putting on, and instantaneously, people are starting to think, oh my goodness, these were all hired actors. Maybe it didn't really happen. It happened. It happened, people. We're supposed to be Christians, right? The people who lost loved ones and family members because of this heinous crime should be prayed for and consoled, offering them patience and hope of Scripture, comfort of Scripture. Instead, people come up with these wacky ideas. They were all actors. That was a scene that they put on. Nobody was actually killed. Now they're going to come after our guns, right? And ridiculous Hillary Clinton. Hillary, there's a reason why you're not president right now. Immediately she comes out on the attack. We need to have gun laws. We need to have more gun laws. Gun laws would have stopped this. No, it wasn't, Hillary. Gun laws would have not stopped this guy from doing this thing. Only the criminals will have guns when you outlaw the guns. And that's what this guy is. But people, let's be Christians. Let's understand the nature behind what was in this guy. Very, very evil, evil spirits in this world that are out killing people left and right. Let's console the victims and the families of these people. Let's give them a real, honest-to-goodness answer for why their loved one was sacrificed on this day. It's to feed the bloodthirsty lust of very evil devils. And there is a Savior. There is a Savior. Someone who can pull us away from this evil world and offer us a place of hope. And that Savior is none other than Jesus Christ. Can I hear God's people say amen? Instead of, they were all actors. Yeah, don't get me started on Sandy Hook either. You have no idea the families who lost children. And I know you probably don't like me now. I'm fine with that. You're going to have to get in line behind a long line of people who don't like me anymore. People lost their loved ones in these heinous, demonic, satanic attacks. And all you can do is belittle them and act and pretend that these people are faking their own tears. Anyway, these people were murdered here in front of a place that has nothing but to do, symbolize death, ritualistic sacrifice, the slaughter of innocent human beings. That's what these pyramids represent. Listen, there's two kingdoms. Remember I said there's two people? There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, coming down to this earth, where Jesus is the Prince of Peace. not the prince of the power of the air. He is the prince of life. He is the prince of peace. He is far above all principalities and powers, and he comes to bring life and peace to this world. And then we have another kingdom. It's the kingdom of hell itself. The word pyramid has the word pyre in it, which means fire. It literally, if you look at, you know, a fireplace or a campfire, it forms a sort of a pointed fire, okay? A pyre is what it is. That's why they named it a pyramid. It represents spiritual fire. It represents the fire of hell. You're looking at the kingdom of hell itself in the form of a pyramid. And it means nothing but death and destruction. There is a number in the Bible which is a number for death. Genesis 23. If you would open your Bible to Genesis 23, you'll find that it has basically only one story in it. Okay, I'll turn there. Genesis 23. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died. And the whole rest of Genesis 23 is about the death and the burial of poor Sarah, the mother of many nations. Number 23 is a number for death. And I wasn't looking for this. And I found it. Because remember, even though the lion's den was at the Mandalay Bay Hotel, that's not where the people were killed. The people were killed at the place of death. My mind drew a blank here. The half lion, half human thing. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. In front of that, which is a hybrid. You're looking at the beast here, is what you're looking at. Because the number 666 is the number of the beast, and it's the number of a man as well. What day were the beast created? Day 6. What day was man created? Day 6. And in the beast, his number is the number for both the beast and a man at the same time. That's what this hybrid half lion, half human thing, which I cannot remember the name of it. If you had a gun to my head, I wouldn't remember the name of it. Irritates me. Anyway, you know what it is. Right here in front of this pyre, this pyramid, this sarcophagus, this place of death. So I went to Wikipedia because I wanted some information on the Luxor Hotel. And I just happened to see the year that it was built, how long it's been here. 23 years. 23 years. That is the number for death. Now, I'm not just relying upon Genesis 23 to tell me that. Who can think of a famous chapter in the Bible that starts with 23? Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Romans Road of Salvation starts with Romans 3, what? 23, which says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The next one is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? Other 23s in the Bible bear this out. And I'm going to show you some. 23 years. You have a place of death where all these people were killed. It's been here 23 years. Romans 1:29. There is a list here of things that those who commit them are worthy of death. Being filled with all, this is Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Murder's in the list. Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So remember what I said earlier about the shooter. How that there was a time when any of us could have been Sunday's shooter. Any one of us could have done it. Why? Because we have that in us, don't we? We have wickedness in us, fornication in us, debate. Some of you are debating me today. Oh, Pastor Mike, you need to clue into the Illuminati. We're full of debate. We're full of deceit. We're full of malignity. We're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. We are all of these things. And anybody who does this is worthy of death. 23 things in this list. You count them, starting with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. You count them. 23 things here. Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Right? You don't fornicate, but you watch people on the internet do it. You're just as guilty as the people doing it. You don't whisper, but you listen to whispers. You're guilty. Disobedient to parents. I mean, we just look at this list here. Inventors of evil things, like the internet, right? Worthy of death. Here's another one. Matthew 23. It's the 23rd chapter of the New Testament. Remember I told you, 23rd chapter of the Old Testament, Genesis 23, and it deals with the death of Sarah. Matthew 23 is the 23rd chapter of the New Testament. And he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres." You know what a sepulcher is, don't you? It's a place where dead people are buried, like as a pyramid. The pyramids of Egypt were the sepulchers of those Egyptian pharaohs. And this one's been here 23 years. The biggest mass murder in the history of the United States happened right here at a place that's 23 years old. Whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And then look at what he says here in verse 34. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify." Think about it. What did they do to Jesus? What do you see what's coming up here? Okay? "Kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues." What did they do to Jesus? "And persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all..." Thank you, Laura. A little bit late. You probably sent it a while ago and it just got to me. A sphinx! That's what that is. It's a sphinx. Thank you, appreciate it. Anyway, verse 35, "that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth." Whose blood is righteous? Jesus Christ. Who's guilty of that blood? All of us who appear good on the outside like whited sepulchres, but inward we're full of dead men's bones. Are we not? "From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah's son." Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that in Greek, the last letter of the Greek alphabet is not the letter Z. It's Omega. I always thought it was interesting that here Jesus is speaking to Jews. May have been speaking in Hebrew. I don't know. It was written in Greek. And here it is. He gives the first and last letters of the English alphabet. Not the Greek alphabet and not the Hebrew alphabet. I always thought that was peculiar. It's as if Jesus knew that the Bible would be translated in English where the first letter is A and the last letter is Z for Zacharias. Because he says, back up here, so the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, from A to Z. You've killed them all from A to Z. Son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. So Matthew 23 is all about the kill. It's all about whited sepulchers, which is what the Luxor Hotel is. And it's all about the sacrifice of innocent blood. The number 23. Here's another one. 230th chapter of the Bible. Now, I won't read all this for time's sake, but it's about the murder of this man's concubine. You look in verse 29, and when he's come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. That's what this whole chapter is about. It's a story about this man who the Sodomites wanted him, and the man, he was staying in this guy's house, and the guy wouldn't turn him over to the Sodomites, so he sent out his concubine, and they did her all night long until she died. And so he cut her body up and sent her to the all the coasts of Israel, to the 12 tribes. And basically he said, you see this? This is my concubine. We're going to get vengeance on the people that killed my concubine. And so all the people of Israel came out and took vengeance on it. Anyway, 230th, that's 23 times 10. Still dealing with death. Luke 23. Luke 23. Guess what it's about. Starting in verse 18, they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Bar means son of. Abbas means father. Son of his father, which, is, I don't know, it's an interesting name. But who is Barabbas? The Bible says, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Now remember what we established at the beginning. Satan is a murderer. There are spirits. The lion crouching in his den, remember? The lion is a murderer. Did you know the beast in Revelation 13 is part lion? The beast is a murderer because he kills everybody who does not bow to his image and worship his image. And where is the beast right now? Where is he? According to, who was it that said this? Was it Peter or Jude? That said concerning the spirits, the fallen angels, the evil angels that made it with the sons of God before the flood, that they were all cast into prison. And I want you to understand this from a prophetic standpoint. Israel was given a choice between Christ and Antichrist. They were given a choice between Jesus, who came down from heaven, or a murderer, Antichrist, who comes up out of prison. Because that's where the beast is right now. He's in the pit. He's in the prison. And who did they choose? They chose the murderer. They chose the beast. They chose the one who had to come up out of prison. For murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Remember what we found in Matthew 23? They shall kill and crucify the prophets that God sends unto them, and shed righteous blood on the earth. So they say to Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I find no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. Verse 23. Luke 23:23. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be what? Crucified. Cue some music here.
Think about this. Think about what the Bible's telling you. The number 23, crucified. Crucified, crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison. The number for this murderer, one of the numbers, is the number 23. There's a couple other numbers associated with this. I have not even got into it yet. And I was still adding slides to this presentation up until the time I was ready to say, coming to you live. I was still adding stuff in here. I don't think I'm done with this. So whatever I don't get done today may just spill over onto Thursday, right? We may just spend the week talking about this because I think it's significant. The murderers, the gods. And I'm just trying to put this together in my head here. The gods, they always required a sacrifice. Usually they required a human sacrifice. Why would people, I mean, in the days of these pyramids and these gods and these blood sacrifices, what would cause people to voluntarily cough up their relatives? Here's my daughter. She's a virgin. Crucify her, kill her on top of this pyramid. Let her blood be shed. Why would people do that? Why would the people of Israel offer their own children, having them pass through the fire in a Molech? Why would they do this? I don't get it. I don't understand. There must be something that they were going to gain from it. The gods must have made some pact or oath or covenant with them saying, if you kill these people, then we'll let it rain on your crops. Or we'll give you a good hunting season this year. Or we'll give you victory over all your enemies and so on. So Mike, what are you thinking? I don't know. But is it possible that this sacrifice, this ritual killing, serves a very evil purpose? Is it possible that something very evil is going to occur in this country or in this world? Something we can't even fathom right now. Why was a ritual sacrifice done Sunday night? Okay? Anyway, he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Let's kill the innocent, and let's glorify the murderer. Okay? The number 23. By the way, 23 guns this guy used. I didn't make this up. I didn't write this story. I didn't make this guy go boom on all these people. I'm looking at the trail. I'm looking at the pattern. 23-year-old building. 23 guns that this guy used. Am I seeing something that isn't there? It's possible. And again, when it comes to what I say, I'm very fallible. I'm very capable of being just as ignorant as everybody else is. Or worse. When it comes to thus saith the Lord, when it comes to me reading the scripture, that's the word of God, people. And there's no doubt in my mind that spirits are involved when people are slain. There's no doubt in my mind. My goodness. I think spirits are there when people in these churches are slain in the spirit. I don't think it was the Holy Spirit either. I think a fraudulent spirit, because some people just act it out. Well, I'm going to act like I fall down because that's what I'm supposed to do, and they'll catch me. That's a fraudulent spirit. A lying, deceitful spirit. But I think some of these people actually become unconscious. I think some of these people just drop and have no control. And if that's the case, I think it's an even far more diabolical spirit that is working in these people when they're slain in the spirit. So if I think that, actually, the commission of an actual, gruesome, grotesque mass murder, definitely, no doubt in my mind, spirits are involved here. And I think it's my premise that these spirits left their signs. The sign of their presence. How do we know that they were there? They left their mark everywhere. 23 old building, 23 guns there. To do what? To kill these people. And 23 is the number for death. Let's move on. In Mark chapter 7, there's a list, and keep remembering what I said at the beginning. It could have been me. It could have been you. It could have been you and I together. Do we think the... I'll give you a sign. Colorado. The mass murder at, what was it, Columbine High School? These two heavy metal teenagers, teenage boys, took their guns to the Columbine High School and killed a whole bunch of students and a teacher. In fact, there was a number, a pretty interesting number. The number of students that was killed was 12, and the number of teachers that was killed was 1. A teacher and 12 disciples murdered. Columbine High School. Think about it. Do you think there were spirits involved? No doubt in my mind. Do you think these spirits left their mark on the Columbine High School killings by killing one teacher and 12 students? That's what I think. And I think this killer and the spirits that were in this killer and part of this murder left their mark on the scene. So now we have Mark 7. We have what is in the very nature of mankind. We're not good people and getting better. You know, Masonry says, making good men better. Excuse me, Mr. Freemason. There are no good men. There was only one. And his name was Jesus Christ. What's in the heart of man? He says unto them, are you so without understanding? Also, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught. You know what that is, don't you? That's the toilet. The potty chair, and purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. See, I could stop right there and say, good to be with you today. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. And you get it, right? Evil thoughts. How many of you have evil thoughts? Some of you might have them now thinking about me, okay? That stupid Mike Hoggard. Evil thoughts. Adulteries. Fornications. Number 4 is murders. Now, why did I point out that number 4 here? Why that number? Ask yourself the question, where in the Bible was the first murder ever recorded
In fact, the first murder, period, on planet Earth. When did it happen? Genesis chapter 4. You see, Jesus put it there because Jesus put it there in Genesis chapter 4. And you say, well, the chapter divisions weren't in the original manuscripts. No. But the storyline was, Genesis 1 is a completely different storyline than Genesis 2. And Genesis 2 has a completely different message than Genesis 3. Genesis 3 is a different message and a different story than what's in Genesis 4. I mean, some of these chapter markings are just no-brainers. It goes from one story to the next. And Genesis 4 is different than Genesis 5, and so on and so on and so on. So I think there's an order that's embedded in the text. And I think it's just natural to think that Genesis 4 and the story of Cain murdering his brother just falls along a storyline that is different than the other three stories. It was there, even if it wasn't marked that way. The chapter division's there. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Regardless, Genesis chapter 4 and the very fourth thing that comes out of the heart of mankind, both of them is murder. Both of them are. Listen, we're not done counting, by the way. Let's see, we have evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. Yeah, that's interesting. I was thinking, number 5 in thefts, think about it. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And Jesus is not the thief, but you know what's going to happen? Let's see. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive remain. So, I mean, I think there's a match there. Number 6 is covetousness. 7, wickedness. 8, deceit. 9, lasciviousness. 10, an evil eye. Where does that fit in? What's at the top of a pyramid? On the back of the $1 bill? An evil eye. Blasphemy is 11. Pride is 12. 13 is foolishness. In fact, look at verse 23. Verse 23 is the number for death. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And anybody who does these things is worthy of what? Death. So I think there's something here. The number 13. 13 things come out of the heart of man and defile him. And there's a photograph. Nobody knows exactly the details. But the photograph that they have of the killer, he has the number 13 written or tattooed on his chest. Da, da, da! My goodness. You can't make... I don't think Dan Brown could write this better than what it already is. In the pyramid on the back of the $1 bill, 13 rows. Revelation 13. It's about the beast. Acts chapter 13. You know what's in Acts? Oh, here we go. Do I have it in here? I don't think so. Acts chapter 13. Let's read that. Let me get full face here. Acts chapter 13. You have the story of Paul, who is Saul, meeting up with Elymas, the sorcerer, who is a false prophet. And this false prophet is trying to unpreach the gospel. Paul's trying to preach the gospel. Elymas, the sorcerer, who is also known as, a.k.a., let's see here. Oh, back up in verse 6, whose name is Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. It's interesting. He's Elymas the sorcerer. He's trying to unpreach the gospel. Paul's trying to preach it to Sergius Paulus, who is a deputy of this particular land that he's in. And Paul's tired of him. He said, I've had it with you. He said, O full of all subtlety. This is Acts chapter 13, verse 10. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. That's who Paul said he was. Paul said that Elymas, the sorcerer, bar Jesus, is none other than the child of the devil. Who is that? That sounds like Antichrist to me. That sounds like the beast mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. 13 things that defile a man, that come out of his heart. And here this murderer, for some bizarre, odd reason, the one photograph. Now, I'm not sure, and I was just kind of doing a little quick reading on this. Nobody's really sure whether this guy actually had the number 13 tattooed on his chest, or that it was just written in this, or he had it, somebody drew it on him before taking this particular photograph. But the one photograph that they find of this guy, the one photograph that all the news agencies around the world have of this guy, he's got a number 13 on his chest. I don't know, but that's just not coincidental. I don't think it is. I think it is purposeful. I think it has a reason for being there. No, I don't think somebody in the Illuminati drew a number 13 on this guy with Photoshop and then distributed the pictures. I don't think somebody did that. I think this guy had a number 13 on his chest when this photograph was taken. Does he still have it there? I don't know. But the one picture they have, he's got a 13 all over him. And there's 13 things that defile a man. And here we are talking about the spirit of the Antichrist being the murderer here. Where are we going with this? Let's go back to the scriptures. Matthew 27:15. Another look at the crucifixion of Jesus. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner, the murderer. Remember that from Luke? Called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And we all know how that turns out. We know who they chose. They chose the prisoner. And why was he a prisoner? Because he was a murderer. John chapter 8. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Think about it. Because in Acts chapter 13, he is the child of the devil. The child of the devil. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Remember my theory here, that this murderer wasn't acting alone. He was not working in conjunction from the Illuminati. He was not hired by the CIA to do this. But he definitely wasn't working alone. He was working with and for evil spirits. He was doing it for his father, whose number he had displayed on his chest. The number 13. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer
from the beginning. And where does that take us? That takes us, I gotta turn my fan off here. That takes us back to Genesis, the beginning, to Genesis chapter 4, where the first murder was committed by Cain. Cain, who was of that wicked one, another child of the devil. That's who Cain was. So that's what it means when it says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Anybody who lies, he is working in concert with a spirit of lies. Satan himself. Anybody who murders someone in cold blood, takes the life of an innocent person. I'm not talking about a legal execution. I'm not talking about, you know, an act of warfare. The innocent taking of human life. Anytime that occurs, there is a spiritual company with that person who did the murder. A body of spirits working in coordination with this human agent. That's your conspiracy right there. And you don't need to watch all these videos on YouTube. You don't need this. And again, I'm just a little, you'll have to forgive me. And I know, you know, I talk about conspiracies and look at this picture. I mean, I know I do that. But some pretty wacky stuff always pops up whenever one of these mass murders takes place. And there's always going to be a large number of people, internet jockeys, I call them. These internet jockeys, all they do, the very moment some mass murder takes place, or some notable murder takes place, they're on it. They're moving the mouse, they're watching YouTube videos, and they're looking for anything in the world that could be stretched way out of proportion to make it look like somebody else did it, or there's a conspiracy here. And the fact is, they call it investigation, they call it research, but the truth of it is, they weren't there on the crime scene. They didn't look at the real evidence. They saw flashing lights up against the window, and they said, see, there's the shooter down there on the fourth floor. Ah, I caught it. I get irritated at that stuff, okay? And you may say, well, Margaret, you do a bunch of it yourself. You know, maybe I do. Maybe I'm wrong. This is why I think you're always better off. If you want to know the truth on this stuff, it's very simple. Read your Bible. There's your answer. That's the answers that we can rely on. I mean, you got to ask the question, what if you were to go to trial? What if you were going to be in charge of prosecuting the real murderers? And you use the video evidence of flashes of light coming off the fourth floor. Do you think that kind of evidence would really sell in court? I don't think so. I don't think it would. I think you would have to have more hardcore evidence, like surveillance video of someone going into a fourth floor room with a large cache of automatic weapons. I mean, you know, that would be good evidence. Anyway, I gotta move on. He was a murderer from the beginning. In verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And the simple truth of it is, and here's what's really going to smear some people. I'm telling you the truth from the word of God. That this was a spiritual-based sacrifice. And I'm giving you the word of God on it. Here's your proof right here. The absolute infallible word of God. Telling you that there was this spirit. This is a spiritual hit is what it was. Some people are not going to believe it. They would rather believe evidence of a shooter on the fourth floor. Acts 13:10, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? There's your number 13 there. Acts chapter 3. The God of Abraham and Isaac of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You know what it's telling you here? You know what God's word is speaking here? This world, as heinous as this crime was, and everybody's going, this is awful. This is awful what this man did. The truth of it is, remember I said, you know, what's in us all? The truth of it is, the sad truth of it is, that this world, in choosing who they are going to serve in the last days, they could choose the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ, but they won't. They are going to choose the Antichrist, the Beast, 666, the murderer. That should, and as much as they say, oh, this was a horrible crime, killing innocent people. Generally, this is the same crowd that believes that murdering an unborn child is completely legal and it's all right with them because they don't see it as a human being. I beg to disagree. Murder is murder. It doesn't matter if they were at a country music show, dancing the boogie, or it was murdering an unborn infant. It's still murder. And people in this world being offered then the choice of serving Jesus Christ or the Antichrist, they're going to choose the murderer. Why? Because that's what's in their heart. It's murders. The pyramids, whether they were in Egypt or whether they were in Central America, Mexico, or they were in Central America, South America, or even the mounds of North America. Pyramids, there's pyramids in China, there's pyramids in Russia, there's pyramids. I think the Bosnian pyramid, I think that mountain is a giant pyramid covered up by layers of dirt and trees and forests and everything else. I think there's a pyramid there in Bosnia. It's huge. Man, it is immense. But I believe that it's a pyramid. Every one of these were high places where they did sacrifices. Human sacrifices at pyramids. Remember, there were devils involved. That's my premise here. There were devils involved. Very evil spirits. They are the ones who put it into the mind of this man to go and murder these people. You know, some were saying that there had to have been a lot of planning of this. And I agree. I mean, he's got to get the 23 guns. He's got to get the ammunition. He's got to prepare in advance for this. How easy is it, do you think, for him to get this exact room on the 23rd floor? I mean, because if you ever call, if you've ever tried to make a reservation of a hotel anywhere and said to the people on the other line, you say, I want this exact room. I want room 2312. I don't know what room it was he was in, but I want room 2312 on the night of October the 1st. No, I need it for 3 nights, because this guy had it multiple nights. I need this exact room these 3 nights.
How easy do you think that was? I think it was next to impossible that just by chance, the lady would say, we have that room available. I don't know how, but it's been available all this time. No one's ever rented this room. Sure, you can have it. This guy, this must have been in his mind for quite some time. I'm sure there are records that will show when he reserved this exact room. But he did. Not only did he have to have this exact room, he had to have it on October 1st. Because that's the night when some 22,000 people were going to be gathered together in this one place. And he knew that. He knew it. All of these people gathered together on this one night. He has got to have this room to shoot and kill all those people. So a lot of planning involved here. Didn't just wake up Sunday morning and say, I think I'll go kill me a bunch of people. This was worked on in advance. And again, I think spirits favored his cause and aided him in this. I think he got away with it. I think spirits causing other people to look this way as he's walking down the hall with these guns. We know that spirits can blind the eyes of men, don't we? We went over that from the Bible. The God of this world has blinded their minds, as it were. So I think this guy had help. He had spirits aiding him and helping him. And these spirits chose the location for the death of these sacrificed victims. Right here in front of this great big giant, gigantic place of ritualistic death called a pyramid. Look here. Here's an article I found on these step pyramids. There were several different ways these sacrifices occurred. The most common was decapitation and heart removal. Dedication to a new building or new ruler required a human sacrifice. Now I want to stop right here. Because I was telling you earlier, killing this many people, 59 people, 60 including himself. It makes me think that this sacrifice had a reason other than just randomly killing 60 people. I think this sacrifice has a purpose, not had, has a purpose. We think that, or I think that devils are empowered some way by the ritualistic murder of human beings. I can't quite put my finger on it. But I think devils are empowered by the killing, the taking of human life, the shedding of human blood, as it were. I think devils gain some power or some control mechanism this way. We know for certain that when people kill in a ritualistic fashion, they're doing it to appease gods, little g gods, which are devils, which are evil angels. We know Muslims kill for Allah. This is for Allah. This is for His name. This is for His reputation or whatever. This is for you. We know that in the days of these pyramids, that these high priests killed for a reason. Here, the writer of this article says dedication of a new building or some new ruler is about to come on the scene. Are you with me? Many of these were depicted in Maya artwork and sometimes take place after the victim was tortured, beaten, or scalped, or burned, etc. If the sacrifice happened through heart removal, it took place in the courtyard of the temple or summit of the pyramid temple. The courtyard
of the pyramid. Did you catch that? The murders of these people took place in the courtyard of this pyramid, people. That, cue the music! Come on! The person was painted blue and wore a headdress while being held down by four attendants. Why four? Because they represented, here we go, earth, air, fire, and water. North, south, east, west. Winter solstice, spring equinox, summer solstice, fall equinox. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness where? In high places. Dun, dun, dun. Dan Brown could not write this as well as this was played out. The NACOM, or official, used a sacrificial knife to cut into the victim's chest and pull out the heart. He then would pass the heart to the priest, known as the Chilon, where then the blood would be smeared onto the image of the god. Are you kidding me? Once this occurred, the body was thrown down the steps and skinned by assistant priests, but the hands and feet were left alone. Listen to this now. The Chilon then wore the skin of the victim and performed a ritual dance of rebirth. Oh, they're dead. But it's anticipation of them coming back to life. And it does. If you think I'm crazy, then so be it. But when I read the Bible, when I know from the Bible that gods such as Molech, Chiyun, Chemosh, Baal, these gods required the sacrifice of innocent victims. In order to appease them, in order to make them happy, in order for the crops to grow better, in order for them to have victory over their enemies, then these gods required, as the price for their services, these gods required human sacrifice. And I think Sunday, October the 1st, 2017, was just such a sacrifice. Just such a ritual. Killing these 59, then the murderer killing himself, 60 people. I think my software just froze for a minute. So, I want you to ponder all this. I want you to think about this. Maybe do some of your own Bible investigation. Anything that I said today, it may have, maybe you say, you know what, Pastor, I know something from the Bible that kind of can be added to that. Send that to me, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. I'll be watching my email between now and Thursday, because I'm going to continue this, try to finish it up on Thursday. But if you have any information you think could be added to this, or I will look at if you have a better, conspiracy theory than what I'm presenting to you today, I would love to see it. Now, I promise I won't make fun of you Thursday. Or next Tuesday or whatever. I promise I won't. Because if you think you have a better theory, I would love to see it. Maybe something you caught hold of makes more sense than what I'm saying. But what I'm saying that the gods wanted some people dead. Innocent people murdered. I think the gods wanted this, and I think they wanted it for a reason. Maybe you know the reason. So you share that with me as well. And what did I just say? You share that with me as well. Thursday. We'll continue this and we'll finish this up on Thursday. But I'd love to see what you've got to say. And again, if I raised any questions in your mind, go back to the scriptures to see whether what I said to you is true or not true. All right? I love you. Pray for the families of these people. Pray for the families of these victims that somehow, some way, maybe Tim Barron's himself could happen upon these people and give them a chick track. They could turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that mourn, Jesus said, for they shall be comforted. Jesus never mentioned anything about crisis actors. So pray for the people affected by this, all right? And lift them up before the Lord. Maybe these people can be reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night for church. Bye-bye. Think Bible. Always think Bible.